Hey there, it's Tony here, and welcome to this week's episode of the Dumb Leaders Podcast. Now, I'm devoting this one to retail, and I'm calling out all the dumb leaders in retail. Hang around, it's going to be fun. Hey there, it's Tony here, and welcome to the podcast for this week. This week, I'm devoting it to retail. Now, I'm currently on holidays. I'm down here at the beach at Yambar in northern New South Wales, which is, of course, in Australia. So wherever you're listening, you can rest assured that it's about 30 degrees Celsius. The water is crystal clear and the skies are absolutely blue. It's an amazing time of the year to be on holidays, and it's certainly an amazing time of the year to be on holidays at the beach. So I want to devote this week's episode to retail and the dumb leadership that we're really seeing out there at the moment. And I speak generally, in general sense of dumb leadership here, because we've got the growing breed of online retail and commerce and online commerce. And it's really is heartbreaking to see some of the decisions being made by businesses as they continue to struggle with this new dynamic that's within the world. You know, I've heard it on very good authority from people within my network that there'll be at least six more retailers to close the doors here in Australia by the end of March, by the end of the first quarter in 2018. And at the end of the day, that's always sad. And it's interesting because, you know, I spent a 30-year career in retail, and I obviously have my thoughts and my opinions on what works and what will continue to work. And retail, from a physical sense, obviously still has legs. We're seeing probably one of the biggest rearguard actions from any sort of retailer in Walmart in the United States, where they're really taking on the threat of Amazon, and they're really asserting their authority as the number one retailer in the world. So some people will tell you it's Amazon. I believe firmly that the way Walmart have geared up and embraced social media and embraced their leaders within their stores, that they're certainly going to be around for a long, long, long time. But my observations from Christmas shopping and doing some research around Christmas shopping trends is that we clearly have a multi-paced retail environment. When I'm walking through major shopping centres, we see some stores that are really packed. They've got a vibe, they've got an energy, there's an excitement persona happening within some of those shops. But then next door, right next door, there's a retailer where there's no shoppers, there's just none, there's no customers, and they've got some bored staff that are just sitting there. It's almost like they're acting like a repellent to the customer. The store itself is devoid of personality, it's devoid of excitement, and when you combine that with bored staff that are just sort of standing around, it really does create a very negative vibe. And it repels the customers. You know, I've heard stories of dumb shopping centres, and the landlords in retail really will come to fore over the next 4 to 5 years. We're seeing the phenomenon now in the United States. Let's learn from it, people. There's, you know, dead shopping centres. This whole dead abandoned shopping centre scenario started out with from dead Walmarts. You know, going back, you know, I believe about 10 years now. So it's now that we've now got dead shopping centres. We've got people making money and creating incomes from doing tours of abandoned shopping centres. My God, via their YouTube. So, you know, and it's almost like it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, as we've got these shopping centres that are really like profiting to the max at the moment in terms of rent increases and what it is that they're doing. And they've really got no regard to the individual retailer. You know, I was speaking to a retailer recently, and they were saying, Tony, my rent used to be 20% of my sales, and now it sits around 40%. So, and that was over a 5-year period. So those sorts of lifts as a percentage of sales are just simply tough. You just cannot continue to wear that sort of a lift. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that I'm seeing. You know, we've got some of our largest centres here in Australia that are absolutely devoid of unique and character retailers. We've just got wall-to-wall national brands. We've got growing food courts and food offers because people are still eating out, and that's probably the only segment of the retail game that's growing. But we're missing those unique character-based retailers. And so when you stand in a shopping centre in, say, Mount Gravatt in Brisbane, you may as well be standing in any major shopping centre anywhere in Australia. They're just national brands, war-to-war, devoid of character. And it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. People, retailers can't continue to absorb those rental increases on a flat market. And people are going to stop going to shopping centres because there's going to be nothing new, nothing exciting. You know, I see retailers, and this just defies logic to me. When you're walking around a shopping centre, you're there to shop. And then you'll see retailers with big signs on their shop front windows telling people to shop 24/7 online. Online. Shop 24/7. It's almost, once again, self-fulfilling prophecy. People will do that, and then there's no need for the shops. You know, I really see no retailer out there embracing social media in their stores. Yes, you can check in and whatnot, but really, if social media is the end-all and be-all, and that's what people are holding it out to be, social media is all about interaction. We're not interacting. Retailers aren't interacting socially on their social media platform when people are in their shops. How they do that, I'm not sure. But I'm sure that there's going to be some smart people out there that can combine the two. We talk about all these channels, then having to have an omni-channel and having to be consistent in all channels, yet you go into a store and there's no way, outside of checking in, that you can interact on the social media timeline of that particular store. Just none. There's no visibility, and to me that just makes no sense to me. So once again, devoid of ideas on how to compete in this new age. You know, I see online sales just, once again, it defies logic. We you know, there's a couple of things that I've seen happen in retail. One is the unabated freedom now exposed on trading hours. And I don't see that as having benefited the retail industry generally. I see that as having obviously benefited some of the major retailers who can absorb the costings to expand their hours. But I don't see that having any benefit to smaller retailers. So, because they just cannot do that. They just cannot absorb the costs and expand their trading hours anymore. But I'm also seeing it with online sales. You know, we see online sales continuing unabated. We've got Boxing Day sales now that are available on Christmas Day. So where's the incentive for people to get out of their homes and brave the crowds for Boxing Day sales? There's none. And the retailers are taking that incentive away from themselves by doing that. So, you know, the retailers are aiding in their own downfall. They're embracing, okay, online social commerce, and that's fantastic. That's part of what it is that they've got to do. But when they're doing that at the extent, as in detriment to their own stores, that doesn't make sense. They need to find that balance on how they do that. They need to find that balance. You know, I heard firsthand how online sales for one company, now this is one company, I won't mention the name, but last year their online sales component was the equivalent to about 10 stores sales. And this is a national chain. I would believe that they would have over 200 stores here in Australia. It's a smaller specialty type of retailer. So their online sales were equivalent to 10 stores. This year, their online sales had grown to the extent that it was now the equivalent of 30 stores. You know where this is heading, don't you? They're just going to continue to grow unabated. And at the moment, the stores are struggling on comparative sales. They're struggling to get last year's sales. Well, I wonder why. You know, so, you know, I can see it very clearly that some retailers will be putting all their eggs into the online basket. And once again, that's going to ultimately remove choice. You know, I see department stores that have got absolutely no idea on how to compete. Absolutely no idea. They've continued unabated with the model that hasn't worked for a number of years, and they've just got no idea. You know, I see Myer stores here in Australia developing clearance centres, taking over one of their floors to run clearance. And you know, I've never been a Myer shopper anyway, because from a customer service point of view, it, you know, they pride themselves on their service, but you know, at the end of the day, I believe you get better service and more personal service in other retailers. I've never put Myer up on a pedestal in regards to customer service, and that's purely my opinion. But now they've just got no idea, and to be turning, you know, from a premium department store into a clearance centre, my God, where do we go now? And the gap's just getting larger. The gap's just getting larger between the ones getting it right and the ones that have no idea. And if this continues, and at the moment, the behaviours and the actions of the retailers suggest that it is going to continue, we are going to be in exactly the same position as what we've seen in the States. We'll have malls and shopping centres here that may have one or two majors but are devoid of any sort of specialty shopping component. We will have malls that will just die. And to me, that's incredibly sad, because people need retailing and the connection that we get from it. Physical retail is still absolutely vital. While free-range training hours have certainly benefited the major retailers, it's almost impossible to gauge the detrimental effect that it's had for some of the smaller and more specialty-type retailers. Now, at the end of the day, something new and something fresh is absolutely needed, and the new ideas that we need to have to drive people back into our shops. You know, you look at a company like Bunnings, for example, and their online strategy has always been about educating and inspiring the customer and then getting the customer to come into the shop. And I've seen recently that they're adding their special orders range that you can order online. Now, to me, that makes sense. You can... It's a special order range. It's outside of their core products. It's all about that additional range that are available outside of what their core is. Now, once again, that makes sense. They're educating, they're inspiring their customers online. But if you want to buy something from Bunnings, guess what? You're going to have to go into the store. So that sort of strategy, and a lot of analysts criticize that strategy, whereas... You know, at the end of the day, I see it as a really valid methodology for their shoppers. You know, transporting and shipping barbecues is still probably not the most inexpensive way to get the product to into the consumer's hands. So you see things like that, but we need something new and something fresh, and people will stop bothering entering stores. We need the concept of experience. We need a combination of experiences, events, excitement. We need the stores to be socially engaging, okay? So that's a challenge I'm throwing out there to every retailer out there. Experience, events, excitement, engaging retail. And that creates the response for people to make the decision to take the action to go shopping. You've got to create the experience. You've got to create the event. The days of opening a door and expecting people to walk in are well and truly long gone. People want experience, and they want to have that anticipation that they're going to get an experience. And maybe for some retailers, that means we shorten our training hours, shorten them, and we create unique events for our shoppers as opposed to trying to compete with the majors and going 8 to 5. I think 8 to 5 is an outdated node in today's world. So I just really want to get that thought process starting to tick over here, because we're just seeing dumb leadership in retail. You know, and until that day, we will continue to see retailers go bust, making dumb decisions. Learn from the ones that you're competing with. Walk your centre. Ask yourself, why are some retailers packed while there's others just sitting there twiddling their thumbs? Look around you. Retail still has legs. And if yours doesn't, look within. You know, Amazon isn't killing you, people. Maybe you are. Hey, thanks for listening in to this week's episode of the Dumb Leaders Podcast. Please check out the Dumb Leaders Handbook at dumbleaders.com. Share your Dumb Leader stories with us. We've got a whole episode coming up on readers' contributions in the coming month. Until then, please like, share, review. We appreciate you listening in, and we'll catch you on our next episode.